Welcome to Central Church. We're a Jesus church where everyone is welcome, where no one is perfect, but everyone is loved, and anything is possible. Father God, thank you for these precious moments where we can just be in your word. For how amazing is your word! It just becomes this light in our lives, teaches us, guides us, walks with us. So in these moments, take away those things that would stand between us and you, between us and hearing what you are saying to each one of us. You're an amazing God, and we just love being in your presence. In Jesus' name we say, amen. So we are busy in a new little series called How Do You Spell It? Talking about love, biblical love. But when we talk about love in this world, we don't just talk about it. We sing about it. We dream about it. We celebrate it. We write poems about it. But sometimes the way in which we speak of love can be a little confusing. I'll give you an example. So I'll sit with Elsie, which is my wife for 42 years. God bless the woman for that. I'll sit with Elsie and I'll say to Elsie, "Elsie, I really love you." And then half an hour later, it's kind of dinner time and we talk about dinner. And I'll say, "How about we make lamb chops? Because I really love lamb chops." Is it the same? Is it different? Well, I'm sure we can have a bit of a conversation about that. But here's where I want to go. I want to talk about biblical love, the love that God gives us and God expects of us. And there's three things to know about that. Number one, the biblical love that God expects of us is not easy. Number two, it does not come naturally. Number three, it is a gift from God. And that's what we're exploring in this little series. Now, when Paul talks about this, it's interesting how he does that. And you see me put up my two hands like this, best way to try and explain it. He writes to these people in Corinth, and they were quite the bunch. Man, you go read it from the beginning and see all the things he has to deal with talking to them. But it seems at some stage they even had a problem with the spiritual gifts. And they were envious about some gifts. They were boastful about some gifts. So Paul stops in chapter 12 and he says, "Let me just talk to you about these spiritual gifts. There are many. Some can speak in tongues. Don't all of you want to speak in tongues? You can't. Can you imagine how that will sound? It's a gift. Some of you are able to explain what they said. Others can prophesy. Others can pray for healing. Others can..." There's so many. He says, here's the thing. Why there's different ones and many? It's because the family of God is like a body. The body's not just one big head. Body has a body, and it has fingers and hands and toes and arms. And there's some stuff that we clothe, because if you were to name them, it might sound a little rude. But they're all part of that. They're all part of the gifts. Some can be apostles, some can be teachers, some can be prophets. But folks, they're each different, and they're each given according to what God needs. And then just before he goes on with this, he says, hold on a second. And then he's going to teach us about 1 Corinthians 13, love. And then he's going to, in chapter 14, continue with the gifts. Why? Why? Why does he put this little chapter right smack bang in the middle? Because here's what he says. I don't said you don't have this last piece, but I'm going to start chapter 12, verse 31. The last verse of chapter 12. Listen to what Paul says. So he's talking about those gifts. So he says, you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Not all the same, the most helpful. And then there is a biblical but. But now, he says, but now let me show you a way of life that is the best of all. Now let me show you the best way to live your life. And then he goes right into chapter 13. If I could speak all the languages. So here he goes to the gifts. You have this, Dad. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels. Now look at your butts. I mean the biblical butts. That came out wrong. Oh boy. Amen. Let's go home. Let me show you a way of life that is the best of all, says Paul. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, he's doing all these gifts now, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. For love is patient and kind. Let me just stop there for a second. We'll come back to this verse. Do you get what Paul is saying? He says, listen, folks, you can have all the gifts in the world. You can have each one of them and they can all be yours. But if it's not rooted in God's love, in that love that uses all that you have to care for others, to bless others, to love others with God's love, it's worthless. You can speak in as many tongues as you want. If that's not for God's love to take care of others and bless them, you're just making a whole lot of noise. Like the cymbals just going and no beat with the rest of the cymbals. Just a noise going on. You can prophesy as much as you want, but if it's not in God's love that loves others and blesses others, it's worthless. Interesting, right? And then he goes on, and that's the last part of this. He says, so let me tell you what love is not. Love is patient. Love is kind, but love is not jealous. Love is not boastful, and love is not proud. Remember just a few minutes ago, I said, love that comes from God, three things. It's not easy, it's not natural, and it's a gift. These three, jealous, boastful, proud, boy, they come easy, don't they? We don't have to be taught. They're just natural. The problem with those three is the moment I start living in them, I enter into this trap called the comparison trap. It's deadly. Oh, look at what they have. Look at that dress. Why can't I have a dress like that? Boom. There you go. Or, oh, look at me. I'm amazing. Shame. Look at poor him. Look at. Here's the problem with that comparison trap. It's a game you can never win. It will always cost you. It will cost you friendships. It will cost you intimacy. It will cost you sleep. It'll cost you health. It'll cost you your happiness. But here's the thing. Sorry, Bradley. Here's the thing. It starts just with a little spark. And if you don't take care of that little spark, it will become a flame. And before you know that flame becomes a raging fire that will consume your whole life and just take over your whole life and burn you up, and nothing will be left. So how do you stop that? How do you not fall into that? Paul starts by saying, well, to learn about God's love, because God's love is not jealous. Because jealousy takes you right into that trap. You know that. I know that. Because we've all been there. If we were to put up hands, who has never been jealous? Yeah, right. None of us would be able to do that because we've all been there, done that. And you know what that does to you, where that takes you. So here's some advice. Comes from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14 says, a peaceful heart, listen carefully, leads to a healthy body. But jealousy is like a cancer in the bones. It'll eat you up. It will consume you. And nothing good will come from that. What do I do with that? How do I stop that? Our friend David, I think, gives the best advice in Psalm 37. And I'm just going to give you a little paraphrase of the first three verses. Go read it this afternoon. David says, do not be jealous, but place your life in the hands of God and trust God with your life. And then go live and do good. So when that little flame starts and it starts bubbling up in my life, stop. Stop and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you with my life. I'm going to trust that what I have, who I am, and how you care for me is all enough. I'm going to trust that everything I have is a gift from you. Without you, I would have had nothing at all. I'm going to trust that everything I need, you will provide. Because you love me. You called me. And your promise is that you will continue to take care of me. Don't fall in that trap. Don't fall in that trap. In your Father's hands, you have more than you need. And if your friend has more than you, celebrate them. Thank God for the gifts in their lives that they then can use to bless others. And then take what God has given you and say, I have enough, and go do good with that, says David. Don't sit and feel sorry for yourself. Because it will consume you. Love, he says, has a flip side of jealousy. And the flip side is jealous, boast, and proud. That's the flip side of jealousy. Flip side says, oh, I'm so secure. I've got it all. I don't need a thing. I'm good enough. It's like the story of this guy. It was a fun story that I read. He was the president or the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. He and his wife were going on a little vacation, driving. They need some gas. They stop. It's one of those gas stations where they still had a gas bar attendant that comes and puts your gas in. So the guy's putting the gas in. He gets out. He goes to buy something inside, goes to the washroom, and he pays for the gas. And he sees, but his wife and this guy, they're chatting like nobody's business, having a wonderful conversation. Comes back, gets in the car, they say goodbye, they drive off. He says to his wife, you and this guy had quite the conversation. She says, oh yeah, we knew each other in school. Oh, yeah, we actually dated in school. Oh, he says. So they drive a little bit. He says to her, you know, I think I know what was going through your mind when you were talking to him. She says, really? He says, yeah. I'm sure you were thinking, man, am I glad that I married my husband? He's a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. And this other poor guy, he's just a gas bar attendant. She looked at him. She says, nah, actually, what I was thinking is if I married him, he would have been the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. And you would have been the gas bar attendant. be careful of being proud and boastful, because it'll lead you down a path that'll just hurt. What does the word teach us about being humble? Same brother Paul, Romans 12 says, do not, Mr. CEO of the Fortune 500 company, think of yourself more highly than you should. Instead, be modest in your thinking and judge yourself according to the amount of faith that God has given you. Do not think of yourself too much. Rather, when you think of yourself, judge yourself according to the amount of faith that God has given you. It's not the stuff that matters. It's the faith that matters. It's the way in which you live your life out there that matters. Can you remember what Paul writes about Jesus? Philippians chapter 2, he says, he who was God did not cling to his godliness with everything that he had, but he came into this world and he humbled himself and he became a what? A servant. A servant. That's Jesus. Jesus who placed the stars in the sky. Jesus who had angels sing for him when he was born. Jesus who has been from beginning of creation. And Jesus did not say, look at those so-and-sos down there. Father, forget it. I'm never going to go there. I'm way better than that. Jesus humbled himself and he came and he walked this earth to show God's love, a love that would go on their knees to serve, a love that would wash feet, a love that would take time to break bread with sinners and broken people. Because love is patient and kind. It is not boastful or proud. And we fall in that trap so easily. And this world sets that trap for us every day. How many of you do social media? Just do this for a second. Come on, put them up high. Yeah. You know the trap. You know the trap. I did this week because I knew what the sermon is about. I just checked my social media feed. Boy, and is there a lot of boasting going on. Look at what I did. Look at me. Look where I was. Look at this, what I could do. That's what it is. Just go look at it again. That's why I'm so tired of this stuff. I do it maybe once, twice a week that I look at this stuff now, because it's all me, me, me. It's like little kids. When they're little kids, when they're riding their bike, look at me. When they're playing, look at me. When they wrote something, look at me. You know what we should be saying? Look at God. Look at God. In the way that I bless you, in the way that I love you, in the way that I open my hands for you, and I hold you with all the gifts that God has given me according to the faith that I have, there you go. May I bless you. May I. Is that easy? I told you, it's not easy. It's not natural. It's a gift from God, but it's a gift that we don't pray enough for. It also asks me to love those that I don't like. It's as easy as that. Do you think God liked us when we were all messed up, doing all these things against God? But God didn't send his son because he liked us. God sent his son because he loved us. Unconditionally, just as we were. So God says, go love one another. For love is not boastful. It is not proud. Ted, there's a slide for this. The problem with pride and boastfulness is it takes you on this roller coaster ride, you know? You're up, you're down, you're up, you're down. If I'm doing good and people tell me how amazing I am, I'm up. If people don't tell me that, I'm down. Tim Keller, there on your screen, said it beautifully. He says, success will go to your head, but failure will go to your heart. And you know what that does to you? Down you go into that comparison trap, and you're stuck in that thing again, and it will consume you. Love is not jealous. Love is not boastful. Love is not proud. Love knows that it is received freely, and it is given as a gift to give away freely. Because as I learn to love, not just as I love my sweet, blonde, wonderful blondie so much with all of my love, but when I love John, say, my brother, thank you for who you are in the Lord Jesus. I'm so blessed by the ministry that you do with the men. May God bless you. Know what happens? This church is blessed because John is blessed. When my brother Jimmy comes up here and he preaches for me when I'm away on a holiday, it's so wonderful that I can say, Jimmy, I love you with God's love. May God bless you in such abundance that this place is filled to the brim. And may you overflow with God's gifts when you stand here. You know what happens? You are blessed. This place is blessed. For that is how love works. It does not look at itself. It looks at you, at the other. How can I love you? So go make this practical this week. And there's a slide for this one, Ted. Let me give you three things that you can take home this week. I know you're still praying from the prayer series where I said, go pray those prayers, but do this one now as well. Will you please, for the next week, when you pray every day, pray for others first? Can I explain what that is? If your prayers look like mine often, you know how it starts. Thank you, Lord. I love you. Lord, will you do this for me? Lord, will you take care of that for me? Lord, will you be there for this for me? Can we put that at the end? Can we go? Lord, can I pray for Corey this week? Will you bless Corey in all of her needs? Lord, can I pray for my brother-in-law who has to go for chemotherapy this week? Can I place him and his wife and his family in your hands, and may they feel your love? Can we start our prayers by praying for others first? For love is not jealous or boastful or proud. It puts you second and it puts the others first. Because you see, love. And I've said that, Linda, you'll still remember that to you and James, when I said love is not a feeling, it's an act of your will. And it's also this thing, it doesn't ask, it gives. Look at God's love. When God said, you're messed up, he didn't say, do this. God said, I'm going to give you my son. When Jesus came and walked in this world, he says, I love you. He says, I'm going to give you my life. When Jesus died on the cross and said, I love you, he said, so I'm going to save you and I'm going to give you life everlasting. That's how love looks like. It gives. It gives freely without asking. Will you pray for others first? Number two, will you please trust and accept God's plan for your life? For God has a plan for you. Don't look at others and say, look what they got. Look how God blesses. No, 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 no. Look who I am. Look how God takes care of me. Look how God blesses me. And trust God's plan for your life and accept that. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it's really hard. But trust Him. Trust Him that He's going to do the best. And then the last one, go find someone this week at work, at school, at home, in your neighborhood, and go celebrate them and celebrate their success. Isn't that a big deal at school, Scott, to celebrate the success of others, your teachers, but for the teachers to celebrate the success of the kids, for the kids to be able to celebrate the success of the others that are in that school. There's an amazing example. So why can't we do that in our lives? Find someone this week in which you can celebrate and thank God for them and experience how God blesses you, because that's how love works. Love gives. And as it gives freely, the blessing becomes mine. May you love freely and lightly in this week. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer. Father, help us not to fall into the trap, that old comparison trap. It's so easy to do that. Help us to stand under you and your overflowing love for us, and allow that love to permeate our lives and just run through us. And help us to take that love and to flood this world with that. Help us in this week, every day of our lives, to love graciously and freely like you do. To let love be part of everything I do, the way I speak, the way I act, the way I reach out and touch, that your love might be seen. Thank you that it comes from you, Lord, a gift. Help us then not to wrap this gift up and hold it inside, but to let it be open and go and do what it needs to do. Thank you for your gracious love that came into our lives. Can we say it, Lord? We love you with all that is in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.